Amen and amen. Laodicea was founded 250 BC, 250 years before Christ. Interestingly, it was erected by a man called Antiochus. Now this morning, we mentioned the husbands in 1 Peter there. We mentioned how, as we spoke on a few weeks ago, how the husband ought to respect and honour the wife. Well, this one, man, could be hard to beat. Antiochus erected this city, and he called it after the name of his wife, in honour of his wife, and she was called Laodicea. That's a hard, now, honour to beat, for sure. Laodicea was inhabited by people who moved there from Babylon. A lot of the captives in Babylon relocated here and lived here in a very fertile place. Now this is important. I'm not just saying this to pass time. This is important for the message. Okay? It was a very fertile ground. Good for grazing cattle. Particularly sheep. And they had an abundance of sheep, and it said that they were rich in black wool. They did very well. Because of that situation, they became wealthy. They became rich. Laodicea became a very wealthy, influential capital because of their wealth. The church that was founded in this wealthy city, with all of their love for money and the things of the world, the Lord saw to it that a place of witness would be raised here. Praise God for this church, as we do for the other six churches as well. But here was the problem. Here we are about, what, 300 years after the city was built. Here we have this wee church that was planted there, but the influence of the affluent culture had reached into the church. They were rich, they were wealthy, and they knew it. And look at verse 17. Verse 17 says to the people of this wealthy capital, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." God reproved them. Because they'd moved away from that humble, repentant, dependent position to be confident in their wealth and in their possessions. Men and women, that can happen to us today. We can be wealthy. We can be self-sufficient. And we lose our dependency upon the Lord. So here you have a church that is in a desperate place. They don't even see how wretched they are. And again, as I said earlier on there, before we began to even preach, when we read about these churches, don't just think about the church, think about yourself. Are these truths true of you as an individual? Are you wealthy tonight, prosperous? Concern the things of God. You're lukewarm. Read with me, verse number 1. And firstly, we see the personal description. The Lord describes himself here again, as always. In every letter, the Lord introduces himself in a way that is important for the Laodicean church. Verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Those verses indicate that the one who's writing them is the complete one, the perfect one, the Amen. Everything is fulfilled in Christ. All the Old Testament prophecies, all the promises, he's the Amen. He is the one who has everything the child of God needs. Here's the point of this introduction. The Lord says, Laodicean church, I'm the one you're looking for. I am the one that will satisfy you. I am the one that will save you. I am the one that will bring you eternal life. No give so much time to everything else. Don't live your life focusing on career, on your business, on your wealth. I'm your greatest possession. I'm the Amen. I'm the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You see, the Lord's making the point is that He's the Creator. He is the one who is faithful. He is the true witness. Everything He speaks is truth. He is the maker of everything. He is the apex of existence. There's no one above God. We're not going to get to heaven and find that there's a greater God out there. We just never heard of Him. He is the apex. Nobody above Him. What a privilege it is to have this God, as our Saviour and our friend. Here's the thing. The Lord describes Himself in terms being faithful and true. Essentially what He's saying is He's perfect. He's perfectly loving. He's perfectly just. He's perfectly holy. He's perfectly wise. He is the beginning. He's the end. He's the creator. He's the finisher. He's everything. And the Lord's not being proud there. He's not boasting. He's being factual. All of that's absolutely true. You see, there's one thing, and I've said this before, there's one thing that I'm very good at. One thing that I am brilliant at, in fact. There's never been a day where I have had to sit down and improve upon this one thing. Do you know what it is? I am brilliant at being human. I find it very easy, actually. Why? Because I am a human, and you're the same. We don't have to try to be human. We don't have to try to be a person. We are, it's just who we are, and God is the same. He doesn't have to try to be wise. He is wisdom. Doesn't have to try to be perfect and loving and good. Those things are as natural to God. Perfection is as natural to God as being human is natural to me. He does not sin because He cannot sin. He is faithful. He is true. He is the powerful creator. He's the Amen. He's all in all. And He's saying to the Laodicean church, focus on Me. Now, you have that personal word of introduction. Then the Lord deals with the problem with the church in Laodicea. As in other churches, the Lord gives them encouragement. He says, no, you've been wrestling in places of hardship. You're faithful to the word, whatever. But there's no words of encouragement here. Not a squeak. Look at verse 15. The Lord gets straight to the matter at hand, the issue, the heart of the matter. Verse 15. I know thy works. Not that you're good, or you're godly, or you're persecuted but faithful. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. That's interesting language. You see, a person can be cold. He can be backslidden. Just cold as ice. Just no desire for the work of God. No desire to be at church. No desire to open your Bible. No desire to speak of the glories of heaven. No desire to share the gospel. No interest in other people getting saved. Just so badly backslidden. Like Saul, we read about this morning. Focused on himself rather than on the glory of God. That's what it is to be cold. But this church, they weren't cold. It's easy to see a church that's cold. It's easy to see a person who's cold. Not want to be at church. They have no interest in anything godly. The other group here that the Lord mentions is verse 15. In verse 15 is those who are hot. You know, they're really going on with God. They're on fire. They're serving the Lord with passion and with zeal. And to them the Lord will come with encouragement. Keep going on. Like the church in Philadelphia that we saw last week, the Lord encouraged them to keep going on. But this church, they weren't cold, and they weren't hot. The Lord said, I would that you were either cold or hot. Now, why would the Lord, we can understand why the Lord would want them to be hot. Okay, if you're hot, that's where you want to be as a Christian. Are you hot today? Spiritually speaking, you're on fire for God. Are you? If someone was to write your biography, write a book on you, would people read that book and say, wow, there's a Christian. There's a person I want to be like. They're on fire for God. Or would someone read that book and say you were cold? You might say, neither. I'm not hot. I'm not cold. What's left? Lukewarm. Could you be lukewarm tonight? The Lord said to these people, I would that you were hot. Forget that. The Lord also said, I would that you were cold. Why would the Lord want them to be cold? Well, I think the reason for that is, if you're cold, it's easy to see you're cold. And when someone's cold, you can bring the truth to them and quickly repentance will come. Those who are genuinely saved and genuinely cold will repent of that. They'll turn from it. They'll repent of their coldness, they'll see it, they'll hate it, they'll be miserable. You see, a backslider's miserable when they're backslidden. That's how you know they're a backslider. And they'll repent of that, and they'll come back to the Lord. So that's why I believe the Lord was saying, rather have you to be cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. What does that mean? They're in between. And if you're lukewarm, you'll not repent of being cold. Nor are you hot. You're just kind of... I think the word to use here is apathetic. You know what apathetic means? If you're apathetic, you're... not too worried. Going with the flow. Moving with the train. Going with the... just going with the motion of everybody else. Just kind of carried along with the wave. Not really. There's no drive. There's no emotion. There's no passion. Unresponsive in many ways. Emotionless. I think that's what lukewarmness really is here. It's apathetic, emotionless. This church, they were going to church. They were a church. And if they were a church, they obviously were attending. And they had a preacher. That's the angel that was there. And obviously they were going to church because they would hear that letter being read. So there's a church, there's a preacher, there's a congregation, they're singing, they're listening to the words, but there's no emotion. No zeal. No enthusiasm. Just the mechanics of going about it. And so here's a church when they worship in an apathetical way. They're singing, just kind of reading the words. Might put their hymn books down and nothing to them. Can't even remember what they sang. Let alone been thrilled by what they sang. They leave church. They might say, good sermon. He preached well. And he did it all in 15 minutes. The way they go happy. But not affected. Their worship, their love, their reading of the words, all emotionlessness. Just bleh. Carrying on with it. Let me illustrate this for you. The lukewarm person is someone who, like I said, they're apathetic. Let's say, for example, you have a job. You've got a job, okay? And it pays the bills. It's not bad. The people that are there, you can pass the day with them all right. And you go to your job, you get your wage. But let's say you travel by train, and you get up in the morning, and the train, for whatever reason, the train's broke down. And you can't get to work. And you would probably feel, well, I'll lose a day's wages, but sure, it's only a job anyway. I'll just go home again. Just emotionless about it. Not even cold. not hot, bleh, not worried. Let me illustrate what it is to be on hot, to be hot and on fire. Let's say you go to the same job, right? And you're going to the same train station. But it's the holidays. July fortnight. And you've been working all year. This is your first week off since maybe, I don't know, Easter or whatever. And the holidays are here. You've got it booked. You're heading to the sunshine. Head to the beaches. Headpiece. You've got all booked. Beautiful hotel. You know there's nice restaurants. There's maybe friends that are going with you. Family, whatever. And you're looking forward to it. And you're standing at that same train station. And the train is broken down. And you just stand there gobsmacked. And you're scolding yourself. Where's the driver? How do they not have another train? How do they not? How does it keep on happening? And you're gutted. And you're disappointed. And you're filled with emotion. Because there's zeal and passion. You weren't apathetic about the holiday. But you were apathetic about the job. And sometimes church can be like the job. Ah. I'll just go. If I don't make it tonight, well, sure, what about it? That's the problem with the church in Laodicea. And it is so easy to fall in that same position tonight. But what I ask you, keep thinking. Are you cold? Are you backslidden? Are you hot? Are you getting on with God? Are you in a better place now than you were last year? Or are you just... just getting on with it. The Lord says, lukewarmness, something he does not find in any way appealing. A lukewarm person will never repent. They don't even know that they're sinning. The question then has to be asked, why are they lukewarm? What made these people, just think about this, at one point, they were conscious that they were going to hell. At one point they were burdened by their sin. They knew that if they were to die, they would be cast into hell forevermore. And so they fell on their knees and they cried unto God, Lord, save me. They come to the cross and they pray, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me for my sins. And forgive me. And they're repenting and they're living for Christ. And they must have been witnessing and going to church and thankful for the transformation that God had made in them. They're believing. They're loving. But how did they get from that position to being lukewarm? Verse 16 is the answer. Alright? So, then, because... you're lukewarm because thou art, sorry, so then because thou art lukewarm, and men are cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Wrong verse, sorry. Verse 17, because thou sayest, here's the problem, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods. Now, I tell you what I'm going to do. Yeah, we'll deal with that first of all. Alright, we'll deal with that first of all. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So I'm out of order here, but that's okay. The Lord tells them why they were lukewarm. Because they were rich. That was the problem. Remember, like I said, Laodicea was a wealthy, fertile place. And they had plenty of cattle and plenty of trade, plenty of wealth. But the church was rich. Alright? Not only were they rich, but they were increased with goods. Now think about that for a moment. They had plenty of money. That's the idea of being rich there. Plenty of money. And they also have plenty of goods, plenty of possessions. And there's the problem. What's wrong with having money? Nothing. What's wrong with having lots of possessions? Nothing. But the problem was this church, these people, that they had lost their sense of dependence upon the Lord. They might get up in the morning and say a nice wee prayer. Lord, thank you for all your goodness to me. Bless me today. Amen. And that's their wee prayer. No passion, no zeal. Because they knew, well, I've plenty of money. So I've got plenty of food. And I've got clothes. And I've got transport. And, you know, I've got everything I need. I've got my horse outside. I've got my chariot. Whatever the case may be. I've got my donkey. They had everything they needed. And they had that sense of needing God's gracious intervention that day. So they lost that important sense of being dependent upon the Lord. Now, can I say something? I would be fairly certain that although Laodicea was very wealthy, very rich, I guarantee you, the people in those days were not as rich and as wealthy and coming down with goods as we are. I am fairly certain that we eat better today than the Laodiceans did then. I am certain, as I said on Sunday, on Wednesday as well, in a different context, that we undoubtedly live in better houses than the people did in those days. A good house then may have had two rooms, maybe three. We have multiple rooms. Okay? We've got an abundance of conveniences, cookers and whatever you want to mention, washing machines, and we've even got cars. We have way more, I would confidently say, than these people last year. We're richer and we're more increased with goods. And therefore it's easy for us to fall into this trap of losing our dependence upon the Lord. We forget. You know, so if I don't get to prayer this week, if I don't get to church this week, sure. Doesn't really matter, does it? I'll be okay. I'll still have food in my belly, clothes on my back. And that is undoubtedly, certainly, in our day and generation across the UK, that's definitely a big issue. We've plenty. Nobody's begging. Well, you maybe. Plenty of stuff. Plenty of riches. We can illustrate this, again, I think, quite effectively. This situation of being lukewarm is easily seen in your prayer life. Alright? If you're lukewarm, your prayers will be, you might pray every day, but it'll just be, I'll be weak. You'll just be going through the motions. No passion, no zeal. But, let's say you start feeling unwell, and you have to go to the doctor. And the doctor gives you bad news. All of a sudden, your prayer life will change. Because riches and toys won't help you. You need God. And when problems arise, that deals with a lukewarmness. That's when we begin to become hot. We're praying. We're looking to the Lord. Lord, help me. That's how we know whether we're cold or hot or lukewarm. If your prayers are anemic, it's because you've lost your sense of dependency. Listen, we ought to always remember, if the Lord was to say, I'm going to let you go, we'd plunge in the depths of hell forevermore. Even if you are saved, and were saved, and continue to be saved, as you will, but let's say the Lord begins to remove his blessing from you, like in the days of Job. That'll be problematic, wouldn't it? We're very much dependent upon the grace of God every day. That's why I think, you know, praying in the morning is a good thing. Because in the morning you feel the weight of the day before you. You're travelling. You will be interacting with people throughout that day. And all those pressures are before you. Lord, help me to have victory over temptation today. Help me, Lord, to witness for you. The day is ahead of you. The pressures of the day are falling upon your shoulders in the morning time. You're beginning to feel them, and you pray over them. It's good to pray in the morning. Relay those burdens to the Lord and ask for his help. And then as we sit at night time, give the Lord thanks for the blessings of that day and commit yourself to him. But men and women, we know whether we're cold, hot, or lukewarm when we evaluate our prayers. Right. Look with me here at the end of verse 17. Because the Lord proposes the action that he should take. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, sorry, I'm not pointing the mention to you before leaving this verse. The problem with these folk is they didn't see themselves as needing anything. They were self-sufficient, yet the Lord looked at them and he saw that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Do you know what they're like? And I say this respectfully tonight, because it might happen to any of us. Sometimes you can go to hospital and for whatever reason you lose your mind. Medically, that can happen. We don't know where you're at. You don't know what you're doing. And I don't want to go into all the graphic and the details, but someone can be so far out of their mind in hospital, they're naked, they're miserable, they're poor, they're blind, for although they can see, they can't see properly. And to everyone else, they're looking on, they can see, that person's got a problem, but that person who's delirious, they haven't got a clue. Can't see it. That can happen to any of us. I'm no exception to that either. Not a nice thought. I'm not a nice place to be in life. But the Lord says to these people, that's what you're like. Medically, if you were medically in a bed, you'd be strapped to a bed. Where's your mind? The church couldn't see their problem, but they were wretched and poor and blind and naked. So, you come then to the Lord's prescribed action. Look at verse 18. And I think 18 is a beautiful verse. Look at the first two words. The Lord said, I counsel thee. Now think about that. I counsel thee. They're lukewarm. They're repulsive to the Lord. Does the Lord cast them out? Does the Lord remove them? Look back at verse 16. The Lord said in verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Lord said to them, I'm going to spew you out. Did he? Well, not at this point. The Lord's forewarning them. If you continue in this lukewarm condition, I'm going to spew you out. And remember the idea of the lukewarm here. When something's lukewarm, you feel like, what? Blech. Spitting it out. The church, when it came to the things of God, they were blech. I'm not worried whether I go to church or not. Well, the Lord responds to him the exact same way. He says, I'm going to blech, I'm going to spew you out. You know what it's like to get water, just that temperature. It's not cool and refreshing. Nor is it hot, like a nice cup of tea. It's just in the middle and blech. You want it out again. That's the Lord saying about this church. I'm going to treat you the same way you treat me. And men and women, do you honestly want the Lord treating you the same way you treat him? Do you? Well, the Lord, instead of spewing them out, he says in verse 18, I counsel thee. I counsel thee. I'm advising you. I'm giving you the cure here. I want you to listen to me. I want to help you out of this. I'm not going to cast you away. I want to pull you out of this. Now listen to me, he says the church. Listen to me. And look what he says to them. Verse 18. I counsel thee. What a gracious God. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Now hang on a minute. Just hang on a minute. What was the problem with this church? They were rich and they had plenty of goods. The problem was they were focusing on the wrong riches and focusing on the wrong goods. The Lord says, forget about all your shops. Come to me, the Amen. Faithful, the true, the creator. Come to me and buy off me. You're shopping in the wrong place. Stop shopping in the world. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be really rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Remember, a moment ago he just said to him, you're miserable, you're naked. Come and I clothe you. I'm the cure. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint mine eyes, remember I just said they're blind, anoint mine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The Lord says, you're lukewarm. You don't even see it. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked, blind and poor. Come to me, I'll clothe you, I'll give you eyes to see, I'll give you riches, I'll give you all. Laodicean church, stop running to the world! And you pity this church because there's so much temptation, and there's so much temptation today, isn't there? So much to demand our time or attention or entertainment or fashion, your sport, whatever it may be. There's so much grabbing us and it blinds the world. Listen, you stand in Lower Main Street and everybody's so busy running from shop to shop. Bags upon bags, shopping, getting things. Some of it legitimate, some of it completely pointless. But everybody's so busy getting ready for the weekend, for the week ahead, for the here and the now, and no preparation for death. I know our shops might not be doing very well, and much retail in the high street is dying a death. That's not because people are stopped buying. That's not because there's less of an interest in possessing new goods. It's because there's a new handier way to buy. We don't even have to leave the house now. We just buy it on the computer. And I must say, I'm 100% guilty of that. It's rare I'm in a shop now, to be honest. I'll just do it on my computer and then get to my door. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I can see why. It's a problem. Buying and buying and buying and getting stuff and I'm not 1 ounce godlier. Listen. Seriously now. What item have you purchased in the past 40 years filled you with joy for the rest of your life? Not one. No matter what you buy, what you possess, it never brings happiness. You are not made, you're not wired that way. We are wired to be satisfied in Christ. So look with me at verse 19 here. The Lord tells them something very heartfelt. The Lord says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke, chasten. The Lord says to them, I love you. That's why I'm rebuking you. That's why I'm calling you lukewarm. Not because I hate you, because I love you. Church of Laodicea, I love you. I rebuke you, I chasten you. And look what he says at the end of verse 19. This is the opposite to being lukewarm. Lukewarm is apathetic, emotionless. And the Lord says, church, be zealous. Therefore, and repent. Let's feel the passion and the zeal for the things of God, the work of God, the glory of God, the need of souls. There's men and women perishing everywhere and they're too busy dazzled with all the things of this earth. The devil loves it. Isn't that how the devil deceived Eve? He said, Eve, if only you had that apple, if only you took one bite, then you'd be happy. Then you'd be glad. And the devil's been dangling apples in front of every human being since. So many are still focused on the apple. Can't see God. We pray that the Lord would blow the devil away. The Lord people would see their need of Christ. See the eternity that is soon to come to us all. A few years and we're gone. Now look at verse 20 then. Verse 20, the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now again, context is the Lord is speaking to a church here. He's speaking to the Laodicean church whom he has said he loves. He loves them. Okay? And the Lord says of this church, listen, I'm knocking the door. Because he's outside. They've forgotten to let him in. They're so busy going through the motions. They've forgotten about the Lord himself. And that's possible. Do we not see that in so much of religion and church today? They have their ceremonies, they have their ritual, they have their prayer books, whatever the case may be, and they're so meticulous about all these bits and pieces. Do you remember the funeral service for our late Queen? And I watched it all. And I couldn't help that day be struck just by the precision and the attention to detail was insane. It was incredible. I mean, everything was down to near perfection. But Christ was outside the door. His name was mentioned. Word was read. So cold, wasn't it? It was a great demonstration of people's ability to go through religiosity. It was Christ. I said to you that time, I was delighted in the hymns that the Queen had chosen to be sung at her funeral. I thought they were powerful, and the choir singing it. There was no life there. That's only my opinion. That's true of the church. The Lord stands outside and knocks. But can I also apply it to you as an individual? Could it be tonight, as an individual, the Lord's knocking on your door? You come to church tonight, but your heart, the Lord's outside. He's appealing. He's inviting. He's appealing to come into your heart. He's inviting you to come to Him. But you've left Him outside. And through the motions of religion, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will sup with him. So when you stand before the judgment throne, dear unsaved, it's not because God didn't knock. It's not because God didn't call. You close the door. So do not be surprised when the gates of heaven are closed. You're standing there. There's nothing you can do to open them. You never opened the doors to the Lord of your heart. The doors of heaven are shut. Can't push them open. And what's the only option? You can't stand at the door and wish you were there. No, that's not a position available. It's either in glory or in hell. That is a shocking reality that stands before every human being. And yet the Lord would invite you to come. He would say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, but you won't come. Why would you not come? I bow before Savior. Let me say then in closing, here's a church. The Lord did love them. They were saved. But they were on the brink of being spewed out. But the Lord counseled them to bring them back. And I assume they did come back. I assume, having heard the word of God, they repented, as the Lord said. And they walked with God again. If you tonight have come to God's house, you're not backslidden. You're not backslidden. You're not hot either. You're lukewarm. Go to the Lord. And instead of focusing on everything else, draw from Him your satisfaction. Seek Him. Pray to Him. Read His Word. Pray, Lord, I've lost my zeal. I just don't have what I once had. I'm still going to church. I'm still going through the motions. But Lord, I detect, I've never seen it before, there's a lack of zeal. I need you to help me. What a testimony it would be if God would fill us all with zeal. That family and friends would see it. If you're not saved tonight, the Lord's knocking. No doubt about that. No doubt. Let Him in. Receive Him. And be saved. And be ready for heaven. Please take your hymn books tonight.